freedom. That is our theme for this year. And our theme verse for the year is John 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." Wow. That's a big statement. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Were we blessed yesterday on our away day, yeah, at the church, going through all the steps in freedom? Do you feel like a different person today? And that's the key thing. It's not just been different for one day. It's been different every day. You know, God doing a work every day, holding on to the truth of His Word. You know, God does not change our past. And we looked at that last week. We've all got stuff that's gone down in our past, in our lives. And God doesn't change our past, but by His grace, He enables us to release the past out of our lives and walk into a place in our lives of victory and of healing and seeing God's forgiveness and wholeness in our lives. And today's sermon is going to help you take hold of what the Lord has done in your life and is doing in your life. And it's going to bring us to a place of emotional freedom in our lives. Wow, that's a big topic. And I want to talk to you today on handling emotions well. Handling emotions well. Well, emotions, it's a tricky topic, isn't it? Because we all deal with emotions in different ways. Some people are just taught never to let your emotions show. Yeah? Growing up in South Africa, as a South African male, you didn't let your emotions show. Cowboys don't cry. So no matter what you went through, no matter how much pain you went through, you just kept the same old poker face. But the problem with that is in people's lives, somewhere along the line, with all the bottling up, an explosion happened. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who wear their emotions on their sleeves. Wherever they go, you know, they just drop their emotional appeal all over. You know, I'm having a good day, so everybody here must have a good day. I'm having a bad day. Oh, sorry. So everybody here must have a bad day. And what we do and what people do then is they have an explosion. Whether whatever end of the spectrum or even if in the middle, sometimes we all have an emotional explosion. And we just let rip and we just let it all out. But we forget about the collateral damage. We forget about the shrapnel that goes out in all sorts of different kinds of directions. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that has been a victim of shrapnel from a bomb. I have. You may have. And the surgery they need just from not being even near the center of where the explosion went off, but just being somewhere on the outskirts and a bit of shrapnel flew into their neck and they need severe surgery to help them through. And our emotions. Somebody may not even be right there in the epicenter of an emotional explosion, but they're somewhere out there. You didn't even know they were in the building. You didn't even know they were in the country. And some of the collateral damage affects them. Oh, you feel better. I just had to get that off my chest. I feel a lot better now. And as Christians, we are called to have a sound mind. We are called to have sober judgment. We are called to live our lives not based on our emotions, although our emotions are very real. We're not expected to deny our emotions. Jesus didn't deny his emotions. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words in the Gospel of John. Jesus wept at a friend's funeral. Or it wasn't, yeah, his friend was dead. He rose him from the dead. And is God calling us as his people to have an emotional response or a Christ-like response? Sometimes we feel anger. Now, anger is not necessarily a sin, because the Bible does say, in your anger, do not sin. And remember when Jesus cast the people out of the temple with a whip? He had righteous indignation. And sometimes we are righteously indignant at the distraction that the enemy brings. But in that moment, we do not sin. Oh, I feel this way. It's my right, my human right. Well, I gave my rights up the day I surrendered to Jesus. We've just sung, I surrender. I surrender. I'm going to get him back off to the service. Ooh. See why I'm not singing in the worship team. So I've got to sing from the pulpit. I surrender. Lord, vengeance is yours. I'm going to get them back. Yeah, it's my 10-point strategy. As they approach the house, the cameras will go on. Doof. We'll be watching them. We'll get them back. No. We surrender. We live lives in humble submission to our Lord and Savior. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free from needing to get people back. We are free from needing to be controlled. Well, if I feel this way, surely my feelings are in tune with the Lord. Or I feel that way about someone. I can't quite put my finger on it. All I know is I don't like them. And give me the opportunity. I would love to tell them that I don't like them. It's the Lord speaking. Our feelings very often, sorry, newsflash, you're not going to like it. But very often our feelings, they're not the Lord, it's our own flesh. And we've got to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. We've got to crucify our flesh. We're not called to be people of feeling. We're called to be people of the word, of righteousness, of truth, of holiness, of integrity. And our feelings have to match that as Christians. The key truth this morning is this: our emotions are essentially a product of our thoughts. And our emotions are essentially a barometer of our spiritual health. You see, what stops people growing spiritually in Jesus is when they are emotionally unhealthy. And they get stuck at a point. But Jesus brings the healing. Jesus steps in and brings the healing. And that's the good news this morning. And you see, if you believe, if what you believe, and I've got a slide on this one. I know, Carly, you've been looking for my slides. I haven't been preaching my slides, and you figured that one out. So bless you. But this one I do have a slide for, quite near the beginning. Okay? If what you believe does not reflect. Do you see that one? There we go. If what you believe does not reflect what is actually true, then what you feel won't reflect reality. It's a freedom in Christ principle. We've looked at that over the past week. If what you believe does not reflect what is actually true, then what you feel won't reflect reality. So for instance, somebody can go through a range of emotions, but none of them were based on reality. You've just exhausted yourself. And you've exhausted everyone around you. It's like the example they give in the Freedom in Christ course. Email goes out from the boss to the worker on a Monday. See me in my office 10:30 Friday morning. All week, the guy's expecting the worst. I'm going to be fired. I'm going to be fired. I'm going to be fired. But as he goes into the office, he gets congratulated on the promotion. What do we believe? What do we believe? What you believe sometimes is not true. And a lie believed as true will affect you as if it is true. You know, sometimes people sow seeds about other people. That's not true. So-and-so is just like that. So-and-so is always angry. So-and-so is always miserable. So-and-so, you know, you have the drip feeding over and over and over and over again about so-and-so. Even though it's not true, unfortunately, we're going to end up believing it because Satan, according to John 8, verse 44, is the father of lies. It's his native language. It's what he speaks naturally. I mean, what language comes out of your mouth when you open your mouth in the morning? I'm not talking about bad language. I'm talking about a language, an official language. English comes out of my mouth. I know it doesn't sound like it to most of you, but really this is a form of English, believe it or not. English. My native language. Out of Satan's mouth, his native language is a pack of lies. So where are we this morning? We've all had voices in our lives. Sometimes voices of lies. Lies directly to your face. I think you are like X, Y, and Z. And you look at the person and think, you have no idea who I am. You're not speaking the truth of the Lord out over my life. We've had lies of people saying, you're not worth it. You can't do it. You should never have been born. You're just not clever enough. You're not smart enough. You're not rich enough. You don't have what it takes. And we have lies spoken out over us, which creates emotional baggage in our lives. And we go around thinking, I'm not worth it. Just don't look at me. I'm a worm. I'm a useless piece of waste of space. And we go through life like that. Let's be honest. So it's lies spoken to us. But we also have lies spoken about us. And look, if you are in tune, you know when lies have been spoken about you. You just feel the atmosphere in the room. It's one of those conversations, they're all standing in a circle and you come, hi guys, everybody just keeps quiet. Well, isn't the weather strange today? You just know you've been spoken about and you feel the impact emotionally on that in your life. And what we sometimes do is we leave the door wide open to the emotional onslaught of the abuse of others into our lives. And the word from the Lord today is to the free, it's time to close that door. It's time to close that door. We had a few awesome days in Cornwall over the half term. And our first day there, we went for a bit of a Cornish roast and we just shared a few plates amongst ourselves as a family. And it was probably the coldest day we were there. And the kids, we were all sitting nice and a little snug on the little sofas in the little restaurant. And the kids noticed swings and all that kind of stuff on the outside. And they said, I don't know if you notice with your kids, when they get to high school age, they start thinking they're very cool until they see a playground. Then they're children all over again. So there's all this cool stuff, you know, look at me. And then there's the playground. They're out of there. But they left the door open and the cold air just filled the whole restaurant in a second. And they came back in and they said, we're going out again because the food's not yet. It's taking so long. Do they have to kill the cow before they cook it here in Cornwall? Okay. And, sorry to those who don't eat meat, but anyway, just forgive me. And they went out and we shouted, I'd close the door. But there, isn't that like emotions? We come to a place in our life and we finally start feeling secure and we finally start feeling okay and someone opens the door and that cold, freezing cold draft, that breeze, that wind just comes in and settles on the inside of who you are as a person again and stuff starts to unravel again. But today, it's the day to close the door. In Jesus' name. You've got to believe the truth. Some of the scriptures we've been going through in Freedom in Christ come up now. Jesus answered, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Next one. The thief, John 10:10, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And this speaks into our emotional life as well. Next one, please, Carly. You're doing a great job. Ephesians 4:22-24. A very important one. Look at verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. I'm closing the door to emotional hang-ups. I'm closing the door to emotional abuse. I'm not in that circle anymore. I've stepped out. I'm in my healing. Sorry, you cannot penetrate that. I'm not allowing the devil entrance. The door of my life is closed to that stuff because I'm being made new in the attitude of my mind and I'm putting on the new self. My new self, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm set free in Jesus' name. I don't allow the attacks of the enemy in because I'm, look at the in the Bible, they're created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Wow. Next verse, please. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. News broadcast. Maybe you need to write this above your mirror as your news headline every day. The new is, yeah. Hallelujah. And new emotionally. We don't have to go on an emotional roller coaster. We don't have to wake up down in the morning and then, oh Lord, just help me. And we do struggle with that. Oh, people do struggle with depression. And there are medical reasons for that. And people do struggle with feeling down. And when the night's draw in a lovely British winter and it's really dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's really freezing and the central heating's chugging away and it's just not hot enough and you're just thinking, oh, We do all go through stuff, but who we are new on the inside. The Lord can strengthen us. He can lift us up. So today we're dealing with handling emotions well. I want to look at three negative statements. Matt, thanks for playing the keyboard. You may be seated now. That's absolutely awesome. I love having worship just playing in the background when I preach. Because you know what it helps me do? It doesn't help me focus on the hum of the sound system or somebody coughing or sneezing. It helps me focus on the Lord. So bless you. I'm going to now go for it solo with the Lord. So three key negative statements that come into our lives. The first one is, you're not one of us. This is an emotional door we can open to what people say. You're not one of us. You're not part of our group. You don't fit in here. You don't belong here. And people say that. One of my kids told me the other day at school, it was hilarious. They said they were going to some class and there was a cool gang. You know, you get the A-listers in school. It wasn't a real gang, just a cool lot of kids standing there. And they said to my youngest daughter, you don't belong here. You've got to go the long way around. So my daughter looked at them and said, I'm not going the long way around. You can go the long way around. I'm going where you don't want me to go. I'm not going to be late for class because of you. What do you mean I don't belong here? I do belong. And very often the message given to us, even in churches, you don't belong here. You're not one of us. And whenever you feel that way, we actually slip into a mode of thinking which I call a conformer. We begin to conform to those who say to us, you don't belong here, because we want to come up to their super A grade way of being cool. And if they want me to do such and such a thing to belong to their little group, I'm going to do such and such a thing. If they don't want me to like someone, I'm not going to like someone. If they want me to like someone, even if I don't like them, I'm going to have to like them to be in their group. And we try and come up to their expectations. It's like people do this, don't they? Adults do this. They kind of buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress the people who don't like them. It's true. For some of us, we become a conformer, a people pleaser. And then in the Old Testament, we see a very good example of a conformer, King Saul. There in 1 Samuel 15:24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Destruction came upon Israel at that point because Saul had not fully obeyed the Lord. He was meant to wipe out the enemy and wipe out their possessions. And he just kept a little bit of the enemy and just kept a little bit of the possessions and just kept some of their sheep. And the prophet comes up and to speak to Saul, and he has in the bushes. It's the sheep he had kept that he shouldn't have kept. And why did he do that? Because he wanted to be a conformer. He wanted to belong. He wanted the people to like him. And one thing, emotionally speaking, as Christians, we need to just get to grips with, I'm not a conformer. I conform to Christ. I conform to his ways. I don't conform to the ways of the world. Now, I've never been a conformer. I went to a Catholic primary school and I was a born again Christian in a Catholic primary school, and I used to preach Jesus to them. However, in a moment of weakness, I became a conformer. It was my last year of primary school, and in South Africa, you're a bit older in primary school. So when you turned 13, it was your last year of primary school. So you went to high school, literally going from 13 to 14, and it's just the way it was there. And I don't know if it still is. I'm not into the system there. Is it still? Okay, it's still like that. But anyway, we don't care. Let's move on. So we do care, but we don't care because we're not there right now. So let's move on. So I got into this fashion thing. Now, I'm not very fashion conscious, but I got into I don't know if it hit you yet in 1985, 1986, was the big shirt fashion. You wore these big shirts. massive. I mean, they almost went down to my knees. That was, but you had to have a big shirt. And the boys' clothing store in town was Light Bodies. You have to shop at Light Bodies. Okay, so I'm going to Light Bodies, man. I'm going. And I see everybody's got a Michael Jackson leather jacket. I don't know if you had them over here. You could get them in black, yellow, or red. I liked the red one. It had all the zips, and it was super cool. But you also got, and I really wanted this. So my mom and dad, they bought me the big shirt and the trousers and everything. Not the trousers. This is the crux of the matter. I wanted as well the Michael Jackson trousers. I mean, they were really cool. They were black, and they had chains, and they had zips, and they had everything on. And I wanted to be cool with all my friends. And we were having non-uniform day, and we were all going to go to Light Bodies, and we were all going to buy the clothes for non-uniform day. And I had the shoes and everything, but I didn't have the trousers. And my mom said, look, Dad spent a fortune. You've got the Michael Jackson jacket. You've got the Michael Jackson shirt. You've got the Michael Jackson shoes. But we can't buy you the Michael Jackson trousers. See, Mom, I need to fit in. I'm 13. Help. So she says, look, she did sewing at school, and she'll get the old sewing machine out, and she'll sew me Michael Jackson trousers. And bless her heart, she went to town and had zips, and it almost looked like the real thing. And she said, there's one thing she can't mimic. The only thing she can't do, she can't do the top of it properly that goes around the waist. It's going to have to be elasticated. But don't worry about it, because you wear a big shirt, which almost goes down to your knees. So no one's going to know the difference. So I thought, yeah, okay, great. And I believed her. The only time a 13-year-old child ever believed the mum, it was the time. I'm conforming. So non-uniform days comes. I've got the jacket. I've got the shirt. I've got the shoes. I've put the trousers on. I look in the mirror. It actually looks like the real deal. She'd done a good job. And I walked into class that day. I'm feeling like I'm top of the world. I'm feeling emotionally strong. And there's a girl in the class whose father was a famous yachtsman. And she knew style just like that. I mean, he had sailed the world, his own restaurant, his own everything. And she looked me up and down, and she lifted my shirt and said, I thought so. You know, conforming just doesn't work unless we are conforming to the Lord. And let's get serious. Let's get to Scripture. Romans 12. A living sacrifice. I felt like a living sacrifice right there. But anyway, let's move on. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The pattern of this world, if I feel it, it must be right. It's my feelings. No, that's the pattern of the world. Lord, what do you think? You know, often in my, what I do, being a pastor, it's not what I do, it's who I am. Big difference. People often will share views on other people, but I always say, Lord, what do you say about that person? What do you say? And usually God's got something very good to say about people. Unless they're living in gross sin, of course. So we're not conformers. You're not one of us. We've got to close the door on that. We've got to close the door. I am accepted and I'm loved by God. The second negative thing that comes in, he's still with me this morning. Second negative key statement is this. You don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. You don't measure up, or you're not good enough. If you've ever battled this thought, if anybody has ever made you feel you're just not clever enough, or you don't have what it takes, or you're not talented enough, or not fat enough, or not thin enough, or don't have enough muscles, you don't measure up. Do you know what we usually become? A performer. We start performing around them to meet up to their criteria. And this is what we see in a roundabout way in the scripture which Tony read to us so well this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, 38 to 42, was when Jesus visited Mary and Martha's home. And verse 39 over there says this, She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." The point is, Mary was doing exactly what Jesus wanted her to do. Sit at his feet. Martha was doing what people do when they feel they don't have what it takes. They were performing. Jesus is coming to the house. I mean, imagine Jesus coming to visit you. I can just hear Isabel saying, "Kevin, you never tidy the house. It's your time to vacuum." Dust. We don't want to see a speck of dust. Pick up all the toys. I'll be thinking, we've got to get rid of all the toys. We've got to make it nice. Jesus is coming. And we get into a performance mode. And even in ministry, we get into performance mode. And I want to say, close the door to that emotional baggage. Be real. Be who God has created you to be. Be authentic. Be a worshiper of Jesus. She thought, "I've got to perform," Martha thought. "Maybe Jesus will accept me then." She could have thought that. You can almost hear her mentally going through that. And for many of us, you thought throughout life, you've got to work your socks off to prove yourself. Or maybe you've got to prove yourself to your parents. You've got to get the grades. They don't see that I'm really a musician. They want me to get the grades, and you feel you've got to perform. You've got to perform on the sports field. And there's nothing wrong with achieving the top. There's nothing wrong with being a great academic or a great sports person or a great musician. Nothing wrong with that. But if you feel you've got to perform all the time, it's emotional baggage. And when people are then all grown up one day, they're still performing and performing and performing. I heard recently a sad story. Sad story that just got me to think again. Lord, am I performing? Am I performing? I don't want to be a performer. I don't want to have the emotional baggage on me. You don't have what it takes. And the very people saying to me, "Kevin, as a pastor, you don't have what it takes. I'm trying to perform to please them. Hey, look at me, I'm performing." No, I had such a sad story this past week of a pastor who wanted to be the perfect pastor. And he was sold out to his church, and he still is sold out to his church. And one day, a crucial moment came in the family life, and the dad said, "Sorry, I've got to go do church business again." And his son looked at him and said, "Dad, all I've ever wanted you to be my whole life is to be my dad." The pastor's still pastoring, he's still performing, but the son has run away from the Lord. Performance is emotional baggage. Close the door. The third bit this morning is this. You're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of acceptance. You're not worthy. If ever you faced rejection in your life, you will hear this voice so clearly. You're not worthy. You're not worth it. If you've ever been abandoned, you'll hear that voice. Maybe you saw your parents go through a tough time, and you may have seen your parents separate. And somehow inside you thought, "That's my fault." That's emotional baggage we pick up. It's the emotional baggage saying, "You're not worthy." And let's have a look at what this emotional baggage makes us. This emotional baggage makes us a clinger. We cling on to people. Look at John 4, 17 to 18. It's Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, saying that he can offer the water of life and she'll never thirst again. And they get talking, and Jesus has a word of wisdom. Of knowledge, in fact, of knowledge. And he says this to her. He talks about her family setup. And she says this to him. "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." It is very obvious that this woman was trying to find meaning in life through men. Through relationships. And she became a clinger. She clinged on. In other words, she became emotionally dependent on someone else. A codependency situation. Often people say, Kevin, how do you tell if you are emotionally dependent? Yeah, it's a bit of a joke, but it can go something like this, unfortunately. After you've had a 20-minute conversation on the phone with someone and it's all ended well, you pick up the phone again and say, are you okay with me? And the person says, yes, why? Your voice just sounded slightly funny before you said goodbye. Could be a sign that there's some just a bit of emotional baggage in our lives. We become clingers. We think that we're not worthy of people's love. Well, folks, we're going to close the door in three easy steps, and I have my eye on the time. First easy step is this: you are forgiven. Whatever's gone on in your past, whatever people have said to you, whatever you've done, or whatever you haven't done, whatever mess you've made or mess you could have prevented, it doesn't matter. When you come to Jesus, you are forgiven. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Again, we've got to read this one again this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. You are forgiven. And you know what? It's one thing knowing that, it's another thing forgiving yourself. Maybe this morning you've got to forgive yourself and say, look, hey, I've messed up, but I didn't know. And Christianity, following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple, we are growing all the time. So we are not where we used to be, but we're not where we should be. We are in the process of change and transformation. And once upon a time, what we were talking about and what we are doing and everything was okay. But as we grow and as we move along, the Lord reveals more and more and more truth to us. And then sometimes, because we are here now and we're still going there and we're still going to meet Him, but because of what we did over there, we can't let go. We can't, and that cold breeze comes back in. Hey, that's in your past. Between that and where you are now is the cross. The cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and He has covered you. You are no longer that. You are the new creation in Christ. Let go. That your past does not define you. Jesus defines you. The second key we have this morning is this. Before we do the, yes, let's do the second key, that you are secure in Christ. You are secure in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. You can stand firm in Christ. Why? Not because of what you've done, but because of God. He does it for us. He anointed us. You've got His anointing on you. In other words, His life-giving force is in your life. We are anointed wherever we go. We bring the life of Jesus with us. You know, I was saying to the worship team this morning and in the prayer meeting, I was saying, you might not be the best singer, but God's not looking for best. He's looking for anointing. And where does anointing come? It comes from a life of surrender. What does anointing do? According to the word, it breaks the yoke, releases the captive, it brings the life of Jesus. You know, I might not be the best preacher. I might not be the best looking guy. I might not be the tallest guy. I might not have the most fabulous physique. But I'm surrendered to Jesus. And I know, because you tell me, and I see it with my own eyes, that when I speak in humility and even in my own stupidity and rely on the Lord, something happens and lives get changed. That's an anointing. You can have the world's best actor and best orator up front with a perfect accent, with perfect understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew, and lives not necessarily changed. Paul said that he doesn't come with persuasive words or clever speech, but in the power of the Lord. And I don't come to you with clever words or persuasive speech, but I do come to you in the power and anointing of the Lord. You see, whenever you feel insecure, those negative voices come back. You know, if you're anything like me, sometimes it just takes one negative voice. You can have a great Sunday. You're at church, you've worshipped, you've received the word, and you go out and you go into the coffee, and somebody just, not into the coffee, but out your coffee, okay? And somebody, don't go into the coffee, please. It's not a good thing. Okay? And somebody just says one negative thing to you, and your whole day's a write-off. Close the door. You're not there anymore. I'm secure in Christ. I'm forgiven, and I'm secure. I am who He says I am. And lastly, you have been set free in Jesus Christ. you are completely free in Jesus. Wow, you're free from all the negativity. You're free from all the hurt. You're free from all the shame. You're free from everything you've ever done that hasn't brought him glory. You're free from everything you've ever done that has held you down. Look at John 8:36. So if the Son sets you are free indeed. Free from the negative words. Free from captivity. That's not who you are. You are not captive. You are not a sinner anymore. You are a child of God. We were sinners. We've been saved by His grace, and we are children of God. My past doesn't define me. What others think about me doesn't define me. What I feel about myself doesn't define me. It's who the Lord says I am. And we are forgiven, and we are set free, and we are secure in Him. Yesterday, we read some powerful truth statements. And we're going to read them again in conclusion. And at this point, I invite the worship team up to come lead us in our last song. And perhaps you could just provide, Matt, please, a little bit of accompaniment for the following truths. And I invite you to join us with us this morning in reading these out loud. To those who are on the course yesterday, this is not new to you, but it will be a blessing to all. The truth about my Father God. And this is how we get emotional healing and freedom, by believing the truth about God. Others will have their view of you. Others will have the opinion of you. In others, some people's view, we will never line up. But we'll be made righteous. We are in a right standing relationship with God. We have access to the throne of grace at any time. We can enter boldly because of the blood of the Lamb. And you are new. Speak out. Revelation, the book of Revelation says we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus did for us, and the word of our testimony. Speak out truth. When people say, actually, you're rubbish and you're no one, you say, no, I actually disagree with you. God has made me wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, who do you think you are? I think I'm in Christ. Who do you think you are? People bring accusations against you. I believe what Christ says. I believe Him. I believe His word. Because ultimately, He works all things together for the good. We sang that this morning. He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to their purposes. We know that verse, don't we? One of our guests, I shared that at your birthday a few years ago. He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Let's speak out the truth. Close the door to negative emotion and let's speak out the truth. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are distant and uninterested in me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are always personally present with me, have plans to give me a hope and a future, and have prepared works in advance specifically for me to do. Amen. Let's move on to the next one. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are insensitive and don't know me or care for me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are kind and compassionate and know every single thing about me. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are stern and have placed unrealistic expectations on me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, have accepted me and are joyfully supportive of me. Amen. Let's move on. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are a passive and cold towards me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are warm and affectionate towards me. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are absent or too busy for me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are always present and eager to be with me and enable me to be all that you created me to be. Amen. Let's move on. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are impatient or angry with me or have rejected me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are patient and slow to anger, and that when you discipline me, it is a proof of your love and not a rejection. That's a big one. Let that sink in. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, have been mean or cruel or abusive towards me. I choose to believe the truth that Satan is mean, cruel, and abusive, but you, Father God, are loving, gentle, and protective. Let's move on. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are denying me the pleasures of life. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are the author of life and will lead me into love, joy, and peace when I choose to be filled with your Spirit. Notice you've got to choose to be filled with His Spirit. Choose it. Choose life. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, are trying to control and manipulate me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, have set me free and give me the freedom to make choices and grow in your grace. Let's move on. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, have condemned me and no longer forgive me. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, have forgiven all my sins and will never use them against me in the future. Pause there. Let that sink in. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You don't walk around with a death penalty. You're not on death row because of your past. You are new. You are new. Hallelujah. Let's carry on. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, reject me when I fall. Let's try that again. It's my mistake. Sorry. I renounce the lie that you, Father God, reject me when I fail to live a perfect or sinless life. I choose to believe the truth that you, Father God, are patient towards me and cleanse me when I fall. I am the apple of your eye. You are the apple of His eye. Receive it. Believe it. Close the door to those negative emotions that want to take you down. And believe the truth of what God Almighty says and believes about you and has instilled in you. Because He knew you before you were born and created you to do works that will glorify His name. Let us pray. Every Christian in the house this morning, maybe you feel that you've got to conform to others, or you feel you've got to perform, or you feel you've got to cling. You've got to cling so heavily on people instead of holding on to the Lord. This morning, I encourage you in Jesus' name to believe the truth and let the truth of Jesus set you free and close the door to negative emotions and know that you are forgiven in Jesus' name, that you are secure in Christ, and that you have being set free in Christ, in Jesus' name. So all over the place now, people are going to close the door to the lies of the enemy. Close it. People are going to close the door to negative emotions wanting to swamp your life and drown you in a cesspit of negativity. And you're going to step out of that circle. And you're going to step into the circle of Christ where you belong. In His accepting, loving, gracious friendship and lordship over your life. You're in Christ. And being in Christ, you have the hope of glory. So let's do that now. Just spend that time with the Lord and do that now. And I pray, Lord, that you'd set people free. Free from emotional baggage. Help them close the door to all those negative emotions and be set free and be all who you have created them to be from this moment forth in Jesus' name. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, maybe you have moved away from the Lord, or maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. And this morning you're coming home, you're like the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter coming home to the Lord. Might be the first time. And I want to give you the opportunity to commit your life to Jesus, to become a child of God, either for the first time or again. Just three things. A, admit that you're a sinner and you are in need of Jesus. B, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe He died for you and rose again from the dead. And see, confess. Confess that you need Christ to save you. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward. I am going to ask you to put your hand up, though, after you've prayed the prayer of salvation, to come to Jesus. If that's you, pray this prayer in your heart and say, dear Jesus, I admit that I need you. I admit that I need you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead and rose again from the dead. And today I confess all my sin, and I confess that I need you. And I confess now that you are Lord of my life, and I invite you into my life as my best friend and Lord and Savior, now and forevermore. If you prayed that prayer this morning, either as a coming home to Jesus or for the first time, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Can you put down your hand? God bless you. Anybody else? God's calling you. There's that tug of war given to the Lord. Come on. He's welcoming you home. Just do it. Be brave. He's waiting for you. There's one more person here. Come on. Come on. He's calling you. You say, I prayed the prayer. The Lord's saying, just put your hand up. It's a public acknowledgement. You'll be set free. Do that now. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. And say, Lord, that's me. Just put up your hand. Lord, I pray your blessing on everyone here. Every heart that opened to you, every hand that went up. I pray the seal of the Holy Spirit on everyone's life here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, we've come now to the end of our service. We're going to sing a closing song. If you feel you need prayer, the front pew is open for prayer afterwards. You have a prayer team that will pray with you. And please do join us in the Lighthouse Coffee Shop, which you can either get through the fire exit and you go around the back, or you can get there by going out the front doors.